The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
As I'm going to show you in class, my faith grasps the healing that Christ has for me through the cross before I'm healed, knowing that I will be healed, but leaving the timing of the healing to Him.
This is Hope Lives 365 with Pastor Mark Finley. Today's message, Divine Healing, Part 2. Enjoy, and remember, you can always catch up with past messages and stay up to date with Hope Lives 365 and Pastor Mark by going to hopelives365.com. And now, Pastor Mark Finley.
So faith grasps the reality of healing that flows to me from the cross. With His stripes, we are healed. But the only issue is whether immediate healing, gradual healing, or healing in the resurrection brings the most glory to His name. I am willing to leave the timing of the healing to Him. Now, we will develop this as we go. Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to look here at verse 22. Matthew 9. Here is a good instance of a woman who went to physician after physician. We'll start with Matthew 9, verse 20. This woman went to physician after physician. She spent all her money. She had an issue of blood. She was hemorrhaging. It's interesting how the Bible talks about this woman. It says, verse 20, suddenly a woman who had flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of His garment. And she said to herself, if I only may touch His garment, I may be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when He saw her, He said, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. I want to show you something, if you haven't seen, is amazing. Go to the story in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And we're going to look there at the biblical theology of healing. The biblical theology of healing. There are three words as we look at in Mark chapter 5 that are significant. And we're going to start with Mark 5, verse 22, and I'll look at the three words. They all are for well or for healing. Every word is well or healing, but in the original Greek language, they're a little different, and I'll talk to you about them. Mark 5, verse 25. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. What did that mean? She has a flow of blood for 12 years. Here's what it means. If you have a flow of blood, you're considered to be unclean. She had to be put out of her house. Her husband could not hug her because blood was unclean. He could not embrace her. Blood was unclean. Her children could not sit upon her lap. She had to cry out like a leper as she came through the community. Unclean, unclean, unclean. So she has a menstrual cycle that does not stop flowing for 12 years. She is weak. She's emaciated. She has nobody to hug her, nobody to affirm her. She wanders through the city. She looks for physician after physician. She is poor. She's penniless. She's sick. She's emaciated. She is a poor beggar by the wayside. She spent everything she has. The Bible says she suffered many things from many physicians. I will not tell you. I have gone back and looked at what kind of cures that the physicians had in this day for this kind of disease. It is too grotesque to talk about in an audience like this. I will spare you of that. But I will tell you, when the Bible says she suffered many things, what they did to this woman was horrible. We continue. She had spent all her money, and she was no better, but rather worse. So here is a woman that has gone to all of the brightest minds of the day, all of the best physicians of the day. She has spent on all of what they consider to be the sophisticated cures of the day. And she's no better. She gets what? Worse. The Bible says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind Him in the crowd and touched His garment. And she said, if only I may touch His clothes, I may be made well. Now, here is the interesting thing. The word for well there is the word in the Greek language, therapeuo. What does that word? Therapy. And a therapy has to do with a what? Cure. So when the woman came to Jesus, she only wanted a cure. I don't care what the cure is, tell me about the cure. Whatever I have to do, I don't care. I've been spending all my money. I just want to be cured. And I want you to see the process here. As we continue to read, she touches the hem of the garment. Verse 29. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you touched me." And he looked around to see her who had done the thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." Now, do you see where it says in verse 29, the woman was healed of her affliction? The word for healing there is not therapy. It doesn't say she was cured. The word is iameu, and that word means the disease was removed. Now notice, first, she's looking for a cure, whatever it is. Then she says, then we turn from the cure to the disease. The disease is gone. Many patients today are looking for a cure. Many doctors today only care about removing the disease. Jesus went beyond the cure and beyond the removal of the disease. Now look what happened. Jesus, verse 34. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you what? Well," or whole. That word is zozo, and it's the root word for salvation. The word salvation in the Bible is a large word that means physical, mental, and spiritual wholeness or healing. And if you trace zozo through the New Testament, it is the word for salvation. She comes not caring how she is cured. When the disease is removed, she praises God, the disease is removed. And Jesus looks at her and he says, "Your faith has grasped divine reality. There's something larger than the cure, and that is salvation. Your faith has made you well. It's given you a wholeness." So the Seventh-day Adventist biblical concept of healing is as follows. And the Adventist concept of miracles as follows. Miracles are divine, supernatural events that Christ works occasionally to demonstrate his compassion, to reveal his divine credentials. But beyond the immediate miracle of physical healing is the miracle that happens in the heart, soul, and mind of the person when by faith they come in contact with God to receive his salvation. That is the New Testament concept of healing that is so far beyond the self-centered concept of healing that says, "Heal me, God, now, because I want to be healed now, or else you don't exist." You see, there is a larger concept that expands the mind that is much farther beyond. One day, I was sitting with Johnny Erickson Tata. You remember the story of Johnny Erickson Tata, who at 17 years old was in a diving accident and she became a quadriplegic. And I was sitting in her art studio and handing her pencils. They were colored pencils that she had in her mouth that she was drawing a picture. And as we were sitting there talking, I said, "Johnny, I want to know what's the most difficult thing about painting with those pencils in your mouth." She took the pencil to the side of her mouth because, you know, she couldn't take it out of her mouth. She couldn't use her hands or her legs. She said, "Mark, it's the lousy taste of the pencils." As we talked, I said to her, "Talk to me about divine healing. Talk to me about divine healing." I said, "When you were 17, you had all of life in front of you. One dive and you cracked your spine. Couldn't use your hands, your feet again." She said, "Mark, You know, when I first was in this accident, people came to me. They said, you know, if you have enough faith, you'll be healed. God will raise you up out of that chair. If you have enough faith, you'll use your hands and feet again. And so we talked about it, and I said, what is it that really helped you? How did you work this through, this process through? She said, once I began to understand the first chapter of the book of Mark, I worked it through. I said, Johnny, I've studied the New Testament, but I don't understand that. She said, you don't understand the first chapter of the book of Mark? Why don't I teach you? I said, let's do it. Johnny Erickson Tata took me through the first chapter of the book of Mark, and it really made a profound profound influence on my understanding of the whole subject of divine healing. So let's go back to chapter 1 of Mark. It's quite an amazing story because here's the background of it. Jesus spends an entire day healing a village. Remember I told you today we're going to study the reality of the fact of sometime individual healings, sometime general healings. Jesus spends the entire day healing a village. And if you look at it in Mark chapter 1, verse 32 to 34, it says, now at evening when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those that were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Verse 34, then he healed many who were sick with various diseases. He doesn't heal them all. He heals many who were sick. Keep your finger here just for a moment. We're going to come back to it and turn to John 5. John 5 is the story of the man at the Pool of Bethesda. And you remember the man at the Pool of Bethesda, Beth meaning sign of, Bethlehem, sign of bread. Beth is always sign of, Lehem is bread. Jesus, the bread of life, was born in the house of the baker. Bethsaida, Saida is fish, Beth is sign of or house of. Jesus called his disciples to be fishers of men at Bethsaida, where the fishing village, you see. Bethesda, Esda is mercy. Beth is sign of her house of mercy. So Jesus came to the most despicable place of all. He came to a place where there was no hope, only hopelessness, and he brought mercy.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Finley. We thank you for listening and hope you're enjoying today's message. Our mission is to attractively present the Christ-centered biblical truths of Scripture in a practical, relevant way to people around the world so that they may experience the abundant life that Christ offers and effectively share with confidence His life-changing truths with others. You can support this ministry and help us reach even more by going to hopelives365.com/donate. And now, back to Pastor Mark Finley.
Now, I want to contrast John 5 with Mark 1. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate at a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, the house of mercy, having five porches. Incidentally, five porches. How many books are there in the Torah? Are you with me so far? Five. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Torah. The law cannot heal, but Jesus can. So there's a lot here that we don't see. Jesus, the divine Messiah, walked into the center of Judaism, a place that was known for the law, and he brought the grace and mercy of Christ and compassion because they felt that the sickness of these people brought on their own disease. And so they'd walk by and said if they'd only keep the law as illustrated in those five porches, they would all have been well. We have to be very careful that we recognize that although sickness sometimes is brought about by faulty living habit patterns, there are also genetic factors that have to do with sickness. And merely because a person is sick does not mean that they've violated laws of health necessarily. We live in a terrible, wicked, sinful world where no matter how good you try to be. Now, my wife and I exercise, we diet, we try to be vegan, vegetarians. We do everything we know to remain to have health. But I will say this to you. There are factors over which neither of us have any control. And the truth of the matter is that before you're 100 years old, you're going to have some disease someday. That's the truth of the matter. You say, no, I'm not pastor. Well, then I'll stretch it out 10 years, 110. Before you're 110, you're going to get sick. I'm telling you that right now. And it may not be because of your lifestyle. It may be simply because of a faulty genetics or because of something we can't control over. Because I know my genetics are faulty, and because I know my environment is faulty, that makes me want to follow the laws of health more, not less. I need every advantage I can get, right? And so, okay, now, we're looking here. You have, and it says, in there lay a great multitude of sick people, a great multitude, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Verse 3, for an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water when whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well. That was something they believed, not biblical, of course. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years, and Jesus saw him lying there. Is there any evidence that Jesus healed more than that one man there? He healed that one man. Why did he choose that man? Because of Christ's compassion. Jesus took the most hopeless case, 38 years the man was lying there. Is there any indication that that man had great faith? No, Jesus did tell him, rise and take up his bed and walk, but the basis of his healing was not his faith, it was Jesus' compassion. And Jesus' divine credentials were illustrated by a miraculous healing at a pool where he took the most hopeless case. So if Jesus can take those most hopeless cases, so in the New Testament, we're looking at a broad picture. The picture is Christ's compassion. The picture is glorifying Christ's name. The picture in the New Testament is sometimes people's faith is honored by Christ, but sometimes Christ bypasses faith at all and miraculously heals people to lead them to faith. Faith is not the initiator of the miracle. Faith is the response to the miracle. And you have both of those in the New Testament. But Jesus' larger purpose is zozo. We talked about that. Jesus' larger purpose is physical, mental, spiritual healing. That's his larger purpose. Now we are coming to Mark 1, and this is the heart of it. In Mark chapter 1, we're looking at verse 34. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Jesus dealt with demons. He cast them out. But here it says he healed many who were sick. Now, the interesting thing about it is that healing work was not done. There were scores of people who were being healed there, but that healing work was not done. And there were still many sick people that evening. So the next morning, verse 35, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, Jesus departed to a solitary place and prayed. And Simon and those that were with him searched for him. And when they found him, they said, everybody is looking for you. Why were they looking for Jesus? Because the night before he healed many diseases, there was still work to be done, and some people weren't healed, and they wanted Jesus to heal them the next day. So what did Jesus say? I'm coming right over right now. We're going to finish the job that I started. The rest of those people are going to be healed. And this is what Johnny Erickson Tata shared with me that to me was so powerful that I hadn't thought about. Verse 38, he said to them, let us go into the next town that I may preach there also. Because for this purpose, I've come forth. Amen. Now, that's amazing. Let's think it through. Jesus leaves sick people. He does not go to heal them. That seems cruel. Why? Because he had a larger purpose. Jesus recognized, why didn't he heal every sick person at the Pool of Bethesda? It's not because they all didn't have faith. Why did not Jesus heal every sick person? Because that was not his fundamental purpose. His compassion led him to heal selectively. At times, he healed whole cities to illustrate his divine credentials. It was not that he couldn't, but he had a larger purpose. For this purpose, so the purpose of Christ in my life is beyond physical healing. Amen. The purpose of Christ in my life is that I know him, that I trust him, that I bring glory to his name in everything I do. That is the purpose of Christ. And where a miracle will bring glory to his name and lead me closer to him, he will work it. Where a miracle, let me rephrase that. Where an immediate divine miracle of healing, because often in sickness, God reveals himself powerfully to the one who is sick in ways that we cannot dream or imagine and produces a healing of soul and mind and heart that is far greater. Where immediate physical miracles bring glory to his name and establish his divine credentials, he moves in them. Where they do not, and where God has another plan, he works other kind of miracles. Now, with that context, and that was a setting for us to go to James chapter 5. Who's my timekeeper today? What time do I have? 11:30. Okay, we can do this, I think. James, the fifth chapter. I got to go through the anointing. James chapter 5. Now, understanding the principles of the New Testament, how then do we apply them in the anointing service today? I want you to look at the deeper aspects of James 5 and the anointing. You may be the elder of a church called to do an anointing service. You may be a pastor, a physician. We're going to look at anointing in James chapter 5 and look at the qualities of that anointing in the fifth chapter of James. We're starting with James chapter 5. We're going to go to verse 13 and onward. James 5, verse 13 and onward. We'll look at it phrase by phrase. We're going to try to look at anointing in a much deeper way. Starting with verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone among you cheerful? Let him sing psalms. James 5, verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him do what? Call for the elders of the church. Now, I want to raise a question here. Where is the initiative coming from in this anointing service? Is the preacher standing up and saying, there's somebody in this audience in the third row with a green and yellow and brown and black and polka dot shirt on? Notice I had to say that because I want you to think I was pointing at you. Is the preacher saying, there's somebody here in this audience that you have cancer in your left lung and come up here and you'll be healed? Or is this a public service or a private service? Private. That's a very interesting thing. It's a private service. Just keep that in mind. Does God at times miraculously heal in some public settings? I think he does. But may I be so bold to say to you that that's the exception of the rule. That's the exception. This is a private service. And there's a reason for it, as you'll see as we look at the anointing. Is there anyone sick among you? Let him call. Where does the initiative come from? Where does it come from? The preacher? The patient. Why? Because anointing is a recognition of absolute helplessness. That I cannot, but he can. Anointing is a recognition of my total inability to deal with the situation that I'm facing. Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, we need to look at some things here. First, the anointing with oil. It's interesting. Did you notice the phrase in the text that says, let him call and let them pray? Let him call and let them pray. There is power in corporate prayer. There is power in a group of people that know God praying together. There's power in 5 or 6 or 7 people gathering around a sick loved one who recognizes their absolute helplessness and praying. God does work miracles. God is working miracles, and we can expect them. We'll show you the difference between true and false miracles as we go on. But I am concerned that the church at times is so afraid of false miracles that we reject true miracles. Why would Satan counterfeit miracles if there were no genuine? I haven't seen too many counterfeit $13 bills floating around, or counterfeit sevens of you. The devil would have no purpose. So let him call and let what? Them pray. So here you have the calling comes from the individual, but the praying is corporate. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Why do we anoint with oil? Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, but there are other symbols of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. What are some of the other symbols of the Holy Spirit? Fire. Why don't we light a candle and bring a candle? Why does the Bible say fire is a symbol of the Holy Spirit? Just light a candle and bring it and let the person hold the candle. So you say it's the Holy Spirit, but you tell me oil, but are you thinking about this? What else is another symbol of the Holy Spirit in the Bible? Water. A dove? Yeah, why don't we bring a dove and release a dove and the person be healed? Why don't we bring water and pour on top of his head? Doesn't the Bible say water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit? Why oil? The Lord asked for it. That's a good reason. Why does the Lord ask for it? Why? When you think of oil in the Old Testament, tell me about oil in the Old Testament. Used in the sanctuary service. Anointed the king. How was oil used in the sanctuary service and why? Where will genuine healing come from in the last days? From the throne of God in the sanctuary. Could it be that God has a deeper understanding for us here? The only healing I want is the healing that flows from the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary in Jesus' last work of high priestly ministry.
You've been listening to Hope Lives 365 with Pastor Mark Finley. We hope you've enjoyed today's message and remind you that you can find more in our many ministry resources at hopelives365.com. And you can support this ministry by going to hopelives365.com/donate. And now, a final thought from Pastor Mark.
Don't give up, my friend, because God is setting you apart today to bring glory to His name. And He may bring glory to His name by healing you immediately. He may bring glory to His name by healing you gradually. He may bring glory to His name by healing you in the resurrection. But whatever He chooses, you are a royal son, daughter of God, a royal priest of God. And what we're doing today is setting you aside for that service. Are you willing to do that in your sickness?
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.